Notice this ministering servant of God, this consuming fire, this angelic creature that ministers by the throne of God. You see, when Isaiah come into the presence of God, Isaiah acknowledged his unclean lips. And in order to remain in the presence of God, it wasn't enough just to acknowledge when he said, "Woe is me, for I am undone." It wasn't enough just to acknowledge it. We're all quick to acknowledge it. Baptists are quick to acknowledge that they're sinful. Sometimes it's almost like we're proud of it. I mean, I understand what we say when we say, "Well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace." I understand what we're saying by that, but let's not be content with that. Amen? Let's not be content just to say, "Well, God understands, God knows, and yes, God, there's not a person around that's any more thankful for the grace of God than what I am." Well, I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanses us from all sin. I'm thankful for that. But I don't want to become complacent in my Christianity where I'm too comfortable around my wickedness. You say, "Preacher, how do I keep from getting comfortable with my wickedness?" You get close to the fire, that's how. You get close to the fire, the consuming fire. I don't know if any of you have ever built a bonfire or not. I was down at Mom's this week doing a little bit of work, and my little nephew there, Bradley, was piling up all the clothes on the backyard, piling up everything. I mean, he's just making a big pile. And I guess he'd done it in nursery down here, and this is not good. But they asked him, they said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm building a fire." And he saw us do it at camp, you know, and he saw us build the bonfire, so he was building him one. And thankfully, that was just there was no fire to it, but he was building that fire. But boy, I tell you, we've had some hot fires before. I mean, we'll build a bonfire and throw stuff in it. My dad used to throw tires in it. I know that's not I guess that's illegal nowadays. Man, we'd put them big old bonfires, and that black smoke would billow out of there. I won't go into that too much in case there's any pyromaniacs in here, but that fire would get so hot you can't get close to it. I mean, the hotter it gets, you got to back up a little bit. I mean, you know, you don't want to get too close to it. And I'm going to tell you, there's the brand of Christianity that we have today. The reason why we have, and I'm not against big churches, but the reason why we have some of these mega churches, the emphasis is, you can read it on the sign. They advertise it. You come here, don't worry. They may not word it just like this, but what they're saying is, there's no pressure here. There's no intensity here. There's no expectations here. You just come as you are and leave as you came, and no one's going to offend you here. No one's going to make you uncomfortable here. And a matter of fact, we'll gear our music in such a way that you feel like, "Well, am I in church or am I in the honky-tonk bar?" I mean, we're not going to make too much of a difference between the church and the world, because we want people to feel comfortable when they come in. Now listen, that's the attitude today of what's crept into our Christianity, our churches. And I'm going to tell you what, listen, you know what church is supposed to be? It's a place where we get close to the fire. It's a place where we get close to the fire and where we come and, hey, listen, it's a good thing. It's a great thing. Amen. If you come to church and the preacher steps on your toes a little bit, I wouldn't want to be a part of a church where my toes weren't stepped on. Amen. I mean, listen, hey, and by the way, I don't go around as a preacher. I mean, I don't go around looking and say, "Man, how can I get them people?" You know what I do? I just preach about me, and it hits you all the rest of you. Amen. The Bible says in Proverbs, "As in water, face answereth to face, and so doth the heart of man to man." You want to know what you're like? You want to know what everybody else is like? Hey, listen, we got the same heart, the same sinful flesh, the same thoughts coming to your mind and our minds. And friend, listen, we don't want to be content with that. And the way to keep from being content with it is to draw close to the fire. To draw near to the fire. You see, Isaiah was content with his life. Until he said he saw God. You know, I hear people say, "Well, I think I'm a," you know, they'll boast, "I'm a good Christian." Yeah, I instantly, when I hear that, I know they haven't gotten very close to God. You walk outside at noon on a clear, sunny day, Brother Mullins, and you walk outside, and when the sun is up at its peak and there's not a cloud in the sky, you walk out and begin to stare at the sun, it'll burn a hole in your eyes. You can't look at that sun and its brightness. Now, you can walk out there on a shady day and not feel so bad because the sun is shaded by the clouds. But I'm going to tell you this. You draw close to God and it'll humble you. Listen, the closer you get to God, the more humble your life becomes. The less you boast of your achievements and the less you boast of your flesh and the more you hang your head and say, thank God for His grace. If it wasn't for the grace of God, I know I'm unworthy and I know I deserve to go to hell, but I'm glad for God's grace, and that's not an excuse for our sin. It's just an acknowledgement of our flesh, and we're thankful for God's... Brother, listen, the closer you get to Him, the less you're going to think of this old flesh right here. The Bible says, let a man take heed that thinketh he standeth, lest he fall. Isaiah was a good man. In an instant, though it all changed, he saw the Lord of hosts. He said, I am, woe is me. He said, I'm undone. And then that seraphim flew when he acknowledged that, and that seraphim touched him. I want you to see something tonight about that seraphim that I think will be a blessing to you. He represents that seraphim, that angel represents a servant of God, a ministering servant. With twain, two of his wings, the Bible says his face was covered. That's interesting. You know, as Christians, your face says an awful lot. Teenagers, young people, face says an awful lot. You know, the Bible says that God saw Cain and He said, Cain, why is thy countenance fallen? He looked at his face. I wish I weren't this way, but I study people. I don't mean to study people, but I do notice people. And I notice that there's a lot of sad people in this world. There's a lot of people that are just beat down and worn down. You look into their face and you don't see much life there anymore. Well, I tell you what, listen. Hey, you spend a little time with God and He'll put a different look on your face. You see, the reason why people look the way they do is because of the shame of sin has worn this old world down. But I'm going to tell you what, when you acknowledge and you realize the salvation that God gives, He'll put joy in your heart. He'll change your whole countenance. He'll put a smile on your face and put a joy in your heart. You can't hide from yourself. I mean, we can't hide from ourselves. Listen, we know. And the reason why there's so many people, got to go get this prescription, got to have this medic, got to do this and get drunk, get high, whatever, whether it's prescription, non-prescription, high, whatever it is, and everybody trying to hide from everything. But listen, hey, the Word of God, this book right here will change. I mean, it'll change your attitude. It'll change your countenance. It'll change your outlook. Hey, it'll drive the shadows away. It'll bring sunshine into your life. I promise you it will. Hey, listen. Hey, the Word of God is a consuming fire. There's folks here tonight, you wouldn't survive if it wasn't for the Word of God in your life. You wouldn't make it. It's the strength that keeps you going. Psalm 3:3 says, Thou art the lifter up of mine head. This seraphim had his face covered. You say, what's so significant about that? Because he served at the throne of God, yet he kept his face veiled, lest he become accustomed to God. Or worse, that he be seen as deserving his position. He looked at himself and he said, when people look at this God, he said, I don't want them to look at my face. He said, I want them to look at His face. I want them to see Him. I don't want them to see me. Boy, that takes a lot of pressure off of us as Christians. Amen. But listen, hey, folks aren't looking to see us, but they want to see God in us. Amen. Friend, listen, we don't want them to see us, and we don't want them to see our accomplishments. We want them to see God. Amen. He had his face covered. He didn't want to become accustomed to it. You know, I don't think we ought to ever become accustomed to getting saved. I don't know how many of you are saved tonight, but if you're saved and you say, Preacher, when I first got saved, I was excited. I was fired up. And boy, listen, I wanted to change everything in my life. You know what happened? You got accustomed to it. We get accustomed to it. We get used to it. Amen. And with twain, he covered his face. Because every time he took his hands away, he wanted to look and say, look at me. I'm in the presence of Almighty God. I'm a servant of God. And when he opened his face, he wanted to be able to look and see where he was. And he didn't want to become accustomed to it. Amen. He wanted it to be fresh and new and exciting to him. Hey, don't ever get that way. I mean, listen, every time you come to church, it ought to be exciting. Every time you open your Bible, you ought to say, oh, ho-hum, the Word of God, the Bible again. Think about it for a minute. This book right here, it's the Word of God. Amen. Listen, hey, forever, O Lord, thy Word is settled in heaven. Right. But listen, hey, get excited about it. Let me tell you why some of these two-bit theologians and stuff, let me tell you why they don't mind changing the Bible. Why they don't mind, look on their library with them all, and they've got 45 different versions of the Bible, and this one fellow wrote a book, and in the back of his book, he said, I use 60-some different versions of the Bible because we know there's not really any true Word of God anywhere. Friend, listen, if I believe that, I'd lay my Bible down. I do believe tonight, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord. I believe there's something to this book right here, amen? Amen. I believe there's something to it. I believe there's power in the Word of God. I believe it's preserved and inspired. And I believe it's a life-giving book. Amen?
That's right.
But these theologians, here's what happens. They spend so much time in the Word of God and they get accustomed to it and they think themselves to be so smart that after a while they begin to change the Scripture. Well, they know more than God. You ever think about it? You ever listen to them? Some of you listen to them, these teachers, they'll say, now, that translation is wrong. It should be like this. Brother, listen, I'd duck if I ever said that. They'll say, now the authorized version, that's what's saying the King James. They'll say, the authorized version is wrong here. Hey, I've got a Scofield reference Bible, and even Mr. Scofield's got places in there where he said it. You know what I do? I say, you sorry, Mr. Scofield, you's wrong. God's right. And listen, I like most of the notes in there, but I don't like them ones that where Scofield thought he was smarter than God. And when he got to heaven, he realized he was wrong. God was right. Amen. One place in Song of Solomon, it says that thou dost hide the doves in the clefts of the rock. And he said, now that shouldn't have been that way. He said it shouldn't have been clefts, plural. It should have been singular. You know why he said that? Because he believed in a thing called the universal church. That was his Catholic influence coming out in him. But listen, hey, there's not one church. There's churches. There's one church in heaven, but down here there's many churches. Amen. Hey, there's local, independent, autonomous churches. But listen, I believe in the churches. Amen. I believe that this is a church, and I believe it's an independent, local, Bible-believing Baptist church. And I believe in the churches that are not run by some organization somewhere, but churches that have their headquarters in heaven. Amen.
Right.
But listen, hey, you check it out. You watch. God's right. Let God be true and every man a liar. You don't have to correct God. You know what happens? Familiarity breeds contempt. You let a child get used to their mom and dad. Call them the old man. Husbands and wives get used to one another. Lose respect for one another. It ought not to be that way.
That's right,
I believe husbands and wives ought to have the same attitude when they've been married 30, 40 years what they did when they was courting each other. Amen. Boy, I tell you, that'd make the home a lot sweeter.
That's right.
I mean, listen, I understand we get a little acquainted with each other along the way, but still every once in a while, I mean, we don't have to lose respect for each other.
That's right,
I think children ought to have respect for their parents at home and be glad for what they got. Amen. His face was covered. He didn't want to become accustomed to his position. I want you to see the next thing. It says his feet were covered. Look at Psalm 119, 105, if you don't mind. Man, that picture over there at that church. Look at that, guys. Look back there at that. That light up. That's pretty, ain't it? I just stand here and look at that and quit preaching. Look at that pretty church picture. Look at Psalm 119. Everybody see it? Everybody find it? If you want to serve God, you got to get this point number two. Psalm 119, 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I want to read another verse to you. Psalm 119, 105 you got, but turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Very next book in the Bible, Proverbs chapter 4. Look at Proverbs 4:26. Got it? Verse 26. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Guess what, Jacob? You'll never go anywhere your feet don't lead you. Do you know that? Do you know that? Y'all, the rest of you, I'm not just talking to him. The rest of you, you know that, men? You know you'll never wake up in the wrong house unless your feet led you there. Let me just be real plain. You'll never walk out the wrong bedroom door unless your feet led you in there. Ain't nobody gonna carry you in there.
That's right.
Hey, I remember the story. I don't know if it's true or not, but the preacher decided he'd go to the bar and get a little drink. He disguised himself and hid and went to a place where he didn't think anybody'd know him. It's a couple hours away from town. Maybe it was one of those old ABC stores, whatever it was. He decided he wanted to get drunk. He had lived that life before he got saved and decided he wanted to go back. He disguised himself and he got out of his car. He drove around the block a couple times, looked around, didn't see anybody. Felt confident it was okay to go in. Now, he knew God was watching, but he ignored that fact. And he got out of his car, walked in the building, walked back out with a bottle in his hand, and he heard a voice said, "Preacher, next time you go in there, you ought to look up." He'd forgotten that one of his men was a lineman for the power company, and he was up on top of the telephone pole, saw the whole thing. What a shame. I remember when the church was in the storefront building up here on 41st Street in Kanawha City. Up around the corner was the Cantina Bar. From that was one of these wicked adult bookstores. I used to watch people park three or four blocks away, and they'd walk all the way up around the block. They'd walk up there, and they'd duck in the building, get them an old dirty book, and walk back away. They didn't want anybody to see them. They had it all figured out. You don't just wake up in the wrong place. You got to walk there. You'll never go anywhere in life your feet don't lead you. Look what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20. I'm going to read this to you. I want you to read it with me. You can read it quietly, silently. Proverbs 6:20 says, "My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. And when thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. And thy law is light. And reproofs of instructions are the way of life." Notice verse 24. This gets pretty serious here. "To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her, shall not be innocent. Men do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul." I know a Baptist preacher, far and away, pastored one of the greatest churches in the history of Christianity, that right now sits in a jail cell with about 12 other men. Because for whatever reason on God's green earth, his feet led him into this situation right here. He's lost his family. He's lost the opportunity to be with his family, minister to his church, his testimony. Why? Because his feet led him in the wrong path. He let his feet lead him in the wrong way. I'm talking about somebody that knows this, knew this stuff right here. I'm not talking about someone that's foreign to it, but whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. Boy, listen, that's pretty serious. Goes on to talk about in the situation of adultery, the jealousy also that will haunt the situation. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 15, I won't turn to it, but I want you to, you all have read the verse before. It says, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the God. You know what that means? I learned what that meant when I was studying this. God wants His servants to have beautiful feet. Feet that are covered. Like this angel, this seraphim, his feet were covered. Why? Because he ministered about the things of God. How wicked it is to one day to walk in and to minister and have your feet planted and consecrated in the house of God and the servants of God, and then to let your feet wander out into the wickedness of the world. Amen?
Amen.
We can't. You know what that is? That's talking about hypocrisy. I don't know about you, but one thing I don't ever want to be, I don't want my children, I don't want one person. Harold Parker is my neighbor back there. I don't want anybody to look at me and say, and this is not a boastful thing, this is a very humbling, I don't want anybody to look and say, that preacher's a hypocrite.
That's right.
My little children, I don't want my children. I don't want to be, my wife, I don't want anybody to look at me and say, hey, he's a hypocrite. Listen, I'd just sooner never preach again than what I would to live a double standard. Live a double life.
Right.
If I ever... I don't want to say that either, but I wouldn't want to be both ways. Amen. Just get out if you're going to get out. Don't live a double life. They tell a story once about a fellow that attended a revival meeting, a 2-week revival. The preacher had preached every night, and that fellow had come. His family begged that fellow to come, and he wouldn't break away from the bar long enough to come. But one night he came, and he heard the preacher. Preacher didn't know he was there. When the revival ended and the people went home, the preacher would stayed over that night after the revival service. This professed preacher decided after the meeting was over that he'd go to the bar and get drunk. Imagine that. In a strange town, nobody would know him. When he got there, he sat down and the fellow came over to him and he said, buddy, I recognize you. He said, no, you don't know me. He said, I don't live in this town. He said, yeah, I know you. He said, I recognize you. He said, no, you don't know me. He said, yeah, I do. He said, I got it. He said, my family prayed for me to come to that revival you held in that church. You was the preacher. He said, I came, I heard you preach the other night. What are you doing here? He said, buddy, he said, don't you worry about it. He said, hey, he said, I'm on my time now. He said, don't you worry about it. He said, preacher, is that story true? I believe it is, but I'm going to tell you one that I know to be true for sure. A couple years ago, a preacher left a meeting in Pennsylvania, got in his car and was driving this way, and he stopped in Charleston over here on the west side. Went in a bar, picked up a female in the bar, took her out in the woods somewhere, and she had to get away from him, and put him over here to South Central Regional Jail where he hung himself. He'd been found out that he was living a double life. For many years, he'd been living a double life. They checked his record, and people tried to deny it, but his record proved it to be so. He was living a double life. You see, you can't have two sets of footsteps. You got to keep your feet covered. That's why I said a moment ago, a child of God ought to be careful where you go with your feet. Oh, be careful. Hey, listen, there's some places your feet, you just need to look at some of the paths in your life and some of the places where your feet lead you and say, you know what, feet, we ain't going there no more. Abstain from all appearance of evil. We got to cover our feet, amen? I'm just telling you, hey, listen, I'm talking about consecration here. I'm talking about having the fire in our life, the fire of God, the holiness of God in our life. If you're going to be an effective witness for God, you're going to have this example in your life. His feet were covered. The Bible says in verse number 3, with twain he did fly. I like that. Amen. All is vain in service. If there be no setting forth to serve, we must launch out into the deep. You can sit back and you can swell up and say, well, I know God and I got my face covered and I'm humble before God and I got to cover my face and my feet won't ever go anywhere they shouldn't go. Lest you do the third thing, your service is no service. You got to win. You got to fly. You got to fly. You know what? Listen, our Christianity, we need consecration. But we need to get out and serve God. We need to get out and serve God. We need to carry the gospel. We need to fly. I mean, we need to, that third set. Yes, we need those first two, but we also need the service. Amen. We've forgotten why we're saved. We forget why we live holy. We're not trying to be museum pieces where people can look at us and say, oh, wow, what a wonderful Christian they are. Now, the reason why we ought to be a good Christian is so that we can take and hand some good gospel tracts and go around our neighborhood and say, listen, do you know for sure if you die today, you go to heaven? People will look at you and say, yeah, do you know it? And say, yes, sir, I sure do. How do you know? Well, it ain't because of the life I live, but they ought to know your life that you live is the right kind of life. But they ought to be able to look at you and say, well, I'll tell you what I do know. I know that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I'm going to heaven. But listen, hey, you live, we ought to fly. Amen. We ought to let people know whatever energy we have, we ought not be ashamed. Every time we leave our homes, we ought to leave with our heart consecrated, but yet we ought to leave with that intention to fly and serve the Lord. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. And with twain he did fly. We need that in our Christianity today. Amen. We must launch out into the deep. Jesus told his disciples, he said, go ye into all the world. Go. I remember I was in Bible college. They had a guy, he's a good guy. We'd go out on the bus route. He'd come in, he'd say, I can't go on the bus route. He said, I'm going to stay here and pray all day. We had had 6 days to pray all day. But that one day we had to go out and visit and try to witness to people and win people to the Lord. Now, I'll interpret that for you. It wasn't pray all day. It was I'm too lazy to go today. I wanted to lay here and sleep all day. Now, listen. Hey, there's a time to get right with God. We need to be right all the time. Amen? We need to be right with God and stay right. And listen, how do you stay right? Keep your face covered. Just simply, hey, I didn't mention this, but you ought to keep your faith. There's some things as Christians you don't need to see. Amen. I tell you, there's a lot of stuff in this world we don't need to look at. Job said, I've made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look upon a maid? Oh, man, I tell you, everywhere. You see, preacher, there's nothing you can do about it. They're everywhere. You don't have to look two or three times, do we?
That's right.
I tell you what, listen, we got to watch. Hey, I know it's hard preaching. I'm not preaching to you as somebody accomplished in this, and I'm preaching to you as another one human being to another human sinful, one sinner to other sinners. We got to watch these eyes, boy. It'll. You say, preacher, why is that so important? Because it'll. Here's why. It'll squelch the fire. It'll squelch the fire. Listen, the Bible says, quench not the Spirit. You know what's wrong? You know why our churches are so fake and so phony, and why we've got to have all these the praise teams in, and we've got to do all this stuff, and we've got to fire. You know what? We've lost the fire. There was a day, folks, listen, when they walked to church, and they'd come in the morning, and they wouldn't leave till late at night. They didn't come. They didn't worry about being hungry. People come from all around. They didn't advertise. They didn't pass that. They didn't. I mean, there's just people come. Why? Because there was a fire that was alive in the lives of the people. It carried over to their homes, their neighborhood. It carried over to work. We need that fire in our hearts and our lives once again. So, preacher, there's no hope for America. Well, if I believed that, friend, listen, I would not be here tonight. I'd be cuddled up somewhere looking out the window and saying, come on, Jesus, come on back. You see, you might say that. But I can't say that. I've got an investment in this world. I've got 7 kids. I can't just give up and say, well, Jesus is coming by. Y'all have got grandkids. We're to occupy till he comes. We're to live separated, consecrated, holy lives. We're not to be recluses and hide and give up. We ought to open our mouth up and let people know whose side we're on and tell them about Jesus. You know what? Listen. People are talking about how can we change the dynamic of the political scene of America. They say there's no hope. They say we're just destined. I hear that all the time. They say this last election was a referendum against conservatism, and we may just give up and embrace abortion and embrace sodomy and embrace everything else. Friend, listen, what we need to do is embrace Christianity once again. What we need to do as Christians is be a witness for God once again and let people know about Jesus. Looky here. Hi, spider. Come on, boy. Listen, that's what we need to do. Boys, go straight home if you're leaving. All right. Listen, that's what we need to do. That's the key to it, amen? That's the key. Hey, the Bible says we're the salt of the earth. That's what we need to be, is the salt of the earth. You know what salt is? It's when there's the absence of salt. You ever eat something without salt? I remember when I was, before I was married, Jessica and her sister and brother-in-law were just here. I went over there to their house one time, and her sister had made some deviled eggs. Is that right? And put way too much salt in them, like three times more than should have been. And they wouldn't nobody eat them, and I ate them and act like they were good. You know, I wanted to make. I learned that from my dad. You know, to make everybody else look bad. I said, "Man, them are good." And I was dying. You know, my mouth was. You eat something with too much salt, you know it. Amen. I don't think we can get too much salt in this world today. Amen. See, I don't want to make anybody uncomfortable. Man, they don't mind making us uncomfortable. Men running around kissing men, women kissing women, hugging on each other. Friend, that makes my skin crawl. I'll make you uncomfortable too. Amen. It ain't right. That ain't right. You know what though? You get a hold of something with no salt in it. Man, that just, you know it, don't you? I'm going to tell you. We need to be the salt of this earth. Amen. We need to be holy and consecrated before God. You say, preacher, how do we get that way? Brother Mullins preached a while back here a sermon on be clean. I'm not going to turn to it. I'm not going to preach the sermon. But 1 John 1:1-9 tells us about the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all unrighteousness. And then this, John 15:3 says we're made clean through the word of God. You see, he says, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. I promise you, you get up in the morning, open this book up, spend some time in the word of God, and say, God, touch my heart, touch my lips, God, transform me, and you'll be a different person. If you're saved, born again, this book right here will make you clean. It'll change your life. It'll clean your mind as much as it can be cleansed down here. It'll clean you. It's possible. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, help us tonight. In your name we pray. Amen. Those of you who like to come around and pray, let's gather around here at the altar and pray a minute. We already heard some requests. We'll pray, and then we'll be dismissed. Any of you able would like to come pray, let's pray.